Welcome to Nuance, a spontan episode that I have.
Spontaneous. Is spontan the German word for spontaneous?
It's my razzle dazzle, mom. Let me razzle dazzle, right?
No, seriously. What's the German word for spontaneous?
Spontan.
But you can't just be dropping it like that.
I'm bilingual.
Did you hear? Is there an echo?
No.
I'm hearing an echo in this.
There's no echo for me. Maybe it's the headphones.
My headphones are fabulous, and you know it.
Okay, so can we continue? Do we need to fix? Do we need a quick technical break?
I don't know. How does it sound?
Okay, so we fixed the technical difficulty. Hi, mom. How are you? How are you
so
doing?
So hold on. You're gonna take out that first part?
No. It's supposed to, you know, show. It's a podcast. Podcast normally there's no stuffing and, you know, checking. You normally do the checking. Anyway, again, how are you, mom, on this random evening at, what is it? We're pushing 11 o'clock now.
I mean, I don't know, Anya. I feel like I was spiritually abused.
Oh my God. Okay, so I feel like there's an energy shift.
No, honestly, I really don't know what to say.
Okay, so let me start. The reason why I wanted this spontaneous podcast more than anything is we said we were doing the whole podcasting within a recording conversations, and I feel that, I don't know, I had just an onset feeling. I'm just like, yeah, I feel like I want to just record this. So just for the viewers.
But also we have to bear in mind too that today is like what day? This is the second episode in April.
What?
Yeah, because we did an episode in April already.
So?
No, I'm just...
Remember we said that last that I wanted to do a challenge that we do a couple, we do, you know, become more consistent with the podcast, that it becomes more of a routine thing, that it's not no big hustle. Because look, it didn't take that long to set up everything.
Yeah, but it wasn't a hustle before, Anya.
No, but I think we both
live very busy lives to a certain extent, and once a month is appropriate.
Anyway, I think I would like it to be more frequent in the sense that we tape these conversations. Anyway,
it's your world. I
wanted to do this podcast because we just came off of a roller coaster of a show called Baby Reindeer on Netflix by Richard Gadd. I have a sense that we might have different feelings towards it. I think you can even hear it based off of the energy shift, because you're like, so I'm going to bed, I don't know what that was. And me, I'm just like, yeah, okay, I don't know where does one start in this show. I think anybody who hasn't watched the show and who doesn't really know all the things that are going to be discussed in the show, like, I think it's best to go in there fully blind, and like, if you're watching it, fully watch it. It's very dark comedy, puts it well. I feel it's very, very dark. We just finished watching the show, like, not even like a half an hour ago, and we just like, we haven't even spoken or said anything about it. Straight on started watching some interviews with the main guy, who was also actor. Maybe we talk about that, the fact that Richard.
Okay, but shouldn't we say, like, because it's 7 episodes, and you have to, you know, warn your generation that there's going to be spoiler alerts, because, you know,
because we're going to actually divulge and talk about the whole series, as well as, you know, more triggering content, I guess, for some people who are triggered by, you know, stalking, sexual assault. What else was in the show? Just, yeah, all of that. Yeah.
The spiritual abuse.
Well, that as well, if you're not, you know, prepared. I think, okay, so basically I think anybody who watches the trailer starts off the show thinking, okay, it's going to be like a dark comedy about this guy who gets stalked by this random lady, and we don't know why, and the circumstances, basically that's going to come up in the show. But throughout the show, I think it's episode 4 or 5, when we get this whole backstory that had happened to the guy, I think like a year or so prior, where he was like basically assaulted and raped by
I think that's what I would have wanted to do, to sort of like have a timeline, because I don't know how old he is now and how old he was when this thing happened.
Yeah.
And you know, how, what's the frame of reference in terms of once it happened to him, you know, and then he's, cause he's on it. What is understood is that he won some Holy Pop Awards for having performed this as before. A play.
Yeah.
And so it was after that. So I want to understand, what's the time period between when this happened, the stalking and the abuse? As a matter of fact, the stalking and the abuse, did it happen simultaneously? And then he made the thing, or was it that, you know, he was doing, it was the thing, the stalking thing was happening, and then some other, I don't know, time in his life, the thing happened, the rape. Like the whole, I need a timeline, because I think understanding the timeline will help me to really have a real honest opinion. I know that you wanted to do a spontan thing, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts, and I'll drop my thoughts in. Maybe we can talk some more about it, because I have a sneaking feeling that we're gonna, this thing here is going to be revealed. More is going to come out in
what,
terms.
Wait, what do you mean?
Say what you're saying, and then
you're just always just, I think this.
No, no. So we, no, like, so, all right, so be clear. So 7 episodes. It was a play before, and next.
He's a comedian. To turn the mic.
Is he though?
I don't know if you're necessary. I think you kind of, I don't want to say like overhate it, but everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their rights to have their opinion. I know. I don't. Yeah. Okay. So for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started off very hee hee ha ha funny, like this is dark humor. I think that whole scene when we got into the whole, his whole grooming and then later on assault situation was just a jaw dropping, just like shock, and just really just, I just say it is in a way like soul abusing, because you weren't expecting something like that. And then I think the fact that we only watched the episode after that, so that was like four, and then 5 we watched, and then 6 and 7, the last two basically we just finished watching now, because, you know, time schedule and, you know, having the time to finish watching it. I have to say, I have overall like respect for him that he told the story. Again, I get the your argument with knowing the exact timeline of when the things happen. What I can feel that also from the way he was telling the story, that basically he went to wherever it was, and when he was working in the bar, because he was trying to make it as a comedian, it's basically then when he met the producer or the writer that later up being the man who assaulted him, later on, you know, trying to hide from the whole thing, he, you know, delved into basically the most self-sabotaging thing I've seen in a long while, just going down a massive downhill spiral of drugs, because he was already like, because of the whole grooming thing, he got addicted to the drugs, and was basically just trying to numb himself out in all sorts of ways, in terms of like porn addiction, having like wild sporadic sex, and just like these off the edge, I want to say not fantasies, but like sexcapades in a way, to then basically still, you know, working in the bar. And then that's basically when Martha came into his life, which Martha was a serial stalker, which he first found out later after, you know, multiple red flags, and him, she just constantly emailing him, and, you know, always showing up at his work, always being there. And, you know, there's even a scene when she kind of like assaulted it, when it was also assaulting him, like in the, was at a tunnel when they were walking through, and she was like touching him, it was over close, but still, and just how that whole thing spiraled, him getting into a relationship with a trans woman, and then Martha finding out, it was just, and then, you know, after all that, the police also not taking him serious. To then at that point was when I think that was the 4th episode, when he actually finally went to the police, because Martha had assaulted his then girlfriend, Terry. And then basically that was when the whole thing flashed back for him, seeing, you know, the irony of like him going to the police for Martha when he should have probably went to the police for the guy who assaulted him, and like seeing that whole thing. I have many notes. I don't even really know where to like to get in and to like to start off. I think the first thing I would definitely want to say, I feel like this sixth sense of comedy almost like reflects the time we're in extremely, the sense that I kind of have to like laugh through some of the trauma and some of the things, like besides the actual Netflix series and the show that's going on. I feel like there's so much stuff going on in the world where it's like it's so vivid and gruesome, and it's like you have to kind of find some kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have to necessarily be humor, it can be the light, it can be the joy, but something to kind of like, I don't want to say balance out the trauma, but to help digest it or move through it in a way. And I think this reflects in the show a lot. And I feel that, I think everybody who watches it, it might trigger or, you know, certain themes. There are a lot of themes and topics that were delved in and discussed through the show or like touched upon to an extent. And I feel that, you know, everybody's going to get something different from it. I think one of the core things for me personally, what I thought, especially in the last two episodes, you know, when that happened, basically after all that had happened in terms of, you know, Martha, I think it was after Martha, he during the whole time he was taking part in this comedian contest, and basically he ended up being in the finale. And he come right before that happened is when he had this massive physical altercation with Martha, because once again she was showing up at his work and basically terrorizing him, making fun of him continuously. You know, and that guy had ordered a drink, and she was telling him how he's such a shit, basically saying that, you know, what's the guy's name, Gerald. Basically the main protagonist, his comedy is so shit and this and that. And at one point he started to actually like fight back and mention like, you know, you should really Google, like, not, because he had his comedy sketches up online which weren't, you know, that good, but that that the guy should Google, you know, basically stalker in London or whatever. And then basically her name popped up, and then they started going, like, she attacked him and threw fling glass at him. And during the state, like when he was on stage in the finale of the comedy contest, he basically just completely broke down and started talking about everything. That's like being 100% honest and just like talking about everything, the assault, the stalking, the sexual confusion, all his conflicts that he's been having. And really, that was for me like such a major point in the whole show. And I want to believe, or that's why I feel like the main point of the whole show was, is like the fact that the whole all the episodes before, all the things he was going through was so tumultuous and traumatic, and just like he was the main source, also like the main source of a lot of his problems, by holding in abuse, not talking to people, not being honest with himself, not being honest with the people around him, not letting the people who actually came in his life to show him love, if it was his first ex-girlfriend or then Terry, to really like love him, and to also admitting like the self-hatred and self-sabotage that he felt. And again, like, it's the irony of it, like in the show, I don't know if that really played out in real life that way, but somebody filming it, putting it on YouTube, and him in that whole monologue basically also talking about how he craved fame because he didn't want to be judged his whole life, and that was his main point. But then to see like after he was actually honest and actually opened up about everything, that, you know, things did turn out for the better, not even necessarily for the fame part, but just the fact that I think because of that whole situation, even, you know, in a weird way, I wrote down, you know, he gave a kindness and the universe almost gave him almost like a kindness back, in a very twisted sense, that by him giving that tea to Martha and being kind to her, and, you know, him letting her into her life, as shitty as it was, and I don't want to say like, okay, that's like the best thing to happen, but because of that whole thing, he was able to open up, be honest with not just himself, but coming to the terms of like all the things that had happened to him, also being able to go back to, and I think that's one area I wanted to go, put the conversation towards, to going back to the source of the root cause of a lot of his things, and me being like trauma, yes, I see you pointing at the time and talking. Well, you said you wanted to drop in your points. You didn't seem like you were. Anyway, I'm gonna continue my thoughts. But like, yeah, there's a lot. I think there's a lot to delve in and talk about in this show. But I have to say, it's a rough show, but I think it's a good show and it's well written. And I can't put that past, as much as how crass a lot of the scenes were. I have to put respect where respect is due. So that was my monologue. My first on the podcast.
15 minutes and 26 seconds.
That's the first thing you can say.
All right. So what I want to say is there's a quote from Frederick Douglass. That was the quote that kept coming to my head throughout the entire series, and I'm happy I found it. And the quote from Frederick Douglass says, "It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men." Yeah? It's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. And I feel like that's where that's the door I enter through in terms of this entire series. I found it to be, like I said, deeply, deeply disturbing. The idea that this man is also somebody who experienced it and he re-traumatized himself and us by participating in it again. There is a lot that is happening there in my mind, and that's why it's difficult for me to hang the title of, wow, this is a great riveting. I think that I didn't ask to know all of this. I would have much preferred it if he had gone to therapy and completely healed himself and gone on to do other comedic work or other theater work. The idea that he is profiting from all of this is just insidious to me. And I feel like I'm very concerned for him and for his mental health. The last video that I watched a while ago where he was being interviewed and he was talking about his parents, and you can see that this is a man that is completely broken. And I don't think that he has done enough work to be able to portray his trauma as art. And I want to be clear, much of art is healed trauma. Art is used as like, and he talks about it, that it's a catharsis for him, that it was, you know, you can use art to process. But my concern with this person, and again, I'm talking to him, the person, because from what I've read, much of the story is not 100% as it happened. He took some liberties, which is his right to do, to sort of fold out and build out the story. And so I'll give him that. But as a human being, I am thoroughly concerned for his well-being. The idea that he, like I saw a comment, somebody saying that this is the most colossal vanity project that the world has ever had to witness on Netflix. And when I read the comment, and I thought, wow, that's sort of dramatic. But then when I really thought about it, it occurred to me that this is a vanity project. And what is vanity? You remember when we were watching, I think, the second episode or the third episode, paused it, and I was referencing The Devil's Advocate and about how vanity is something that pulls us in at all points and that we have to resist it. For me, the show was, there's the themes for me, ego management, the fungus of fame. And we have to begin to have the conversation of whether or not empathy can be regarded as a negative trait. Because for me, I feel that when human beings are starved of kindness and of love in a formative way, that they become adults, like the quote says, broken men and women. And so as a result, I don't think that this, what we just experienced, I feel like, you know, I always say to you that sometimes I feel like we're shoveling shit. I felt that's what I was involved in these 7 episodes
fully, though.
And I don't look at him as any, like, I didn't ask for this. You know how they always say, leave me out of the group chat. I felt I was given information in a group chat that I did not ask to be invited into. And I say that with most kindness, because in my mind, what would have been more useful for this human person is for him to have thoroughly deal with his trauma. And can we just talk a bit about his parents? Because I think that's, for me as a parent, that was disturbing. I felt that his childhood lacked love and true affection. And again, the interview that we just watched of him talking about it,
yeah,
the way he got so upset and so he was crying, talking about his parents and, you know, how his parents, he said they were special in the way that they supported him and helped him. But that, it goes back to my original quote about how as men, it is so much harder to heal broken men. It is way easier to raise strong children. The fact that his father admitted, and again, we don't know the bits and bobs of what is true and what is not true. And that's why I'm saying this is, like you say, a spontaneous reaction, having just completely watched it. But I have a feeling in the months to come, we're going to hear really the whole thing. My fear is that this man is, we're watching a person who is mentally unwell. And just because somebody is mentally unwell doesn't mean they can't write great stories and that they can't, you know, flesh out wonderful characters and all of that. But I don't need to be entertained that desperately. I could have lived without knowing this story, and knew at the back of my mind, if I heard of it, that he was healed and he is off, I don't know, working in a one factory or working in a one garage and just living a good, solid human life. All right. I want to also say that, yeah, that's my opening thought.
We have very short opening thoughts here on the Nuance Podcast. No, I can definitely agree with you to a certain extent, and I think it's a person to person opinion, like everything else. But maybe the show, as you said, I think for you, a lot of the things that were delved into are things that are not unknown to you, and I don't, then maybe necessarily the main gist of the show was not meant for you. I think that what I wrote down, like we talk about, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius, and I get this, the sense of shoveling shit, but for me, I don't feel like this falls within a show where it's 100% that, because I feel like we say we're in the age of either you're dealing with your shit or you're gonna stay stuck. And for me, I think the way the show was set out and the way how the first couple of episodes were pulled out, and I don't necessarily, that's not me saying like, okay, I think he's fully healed and he's fully over it, but I think the show did a good job in terms of showing that stuckness and that feeling. And as much as like the first episodes, without knowing what was coming on afterwards, like, yeah, there were every now funny moments and so, but you felt like, all right, something's off with him, something's off and weird with him. And even now when we were watching the videos and like re-listening to some of the conversations that were like, that were held before, you know, we found out the full scope of what he had been through and all the things that he's been through. And so I think that shows it again, like very strong, like how even though you might not be wanting to really live out and engage with the shit that's going on in your life, there will be many instances. And I think the irony, I always make fun of, like, you know mad people and so, but it's mostly mad people who see the madness of other people. I think even though we felt that we're like, okay, this guy seems kind of off, I think Martha was the first one in the show to kind of make a point to be like, somebody hurt you, didn't he? It was a man or something like that. I was just very, that's like off the chart. It's like, okay, in a way, yeah, it probably was foreshadowing in a way. I wonder how, it'd be interesting to know like how real that is in terms of the story, like she actually seeing that. But I think, you know, that's something I found that was interesting.
But Anya, you see, the thing for me, you know, again, there is this book. What's the name of the book?
Which one?
What's the name of the book? I'm gonna
talk, because I read too.
I have it in there. I can't remember right now what they're talking about. I don't need to be entertained. I don't need a story to be, I get it, you know, there are people who might, there are two major things that happened, the stalking and the abuse that he experienced, right? Yeah. Like, I get that there are people who have had those experiences. And in my mind, I feel like if somebody have had that experience, this movie is not doing anything for them. What it would do is trigger them if they haven't healed. And if they have healed, they probably don't even want to watch it because, like, why? What would be the point? So then you leave... So let's parcel out that group, that portion of society. So that means it's left to the rest, right? Who are watching this just for the entertainment value. All right, and I get it. I've said this many times, we're in the age of Aquarius and we are opening up things. For me, this whole thing is mostly entertainment for the bigger part of the population. I don't think it's opening anything new. We see what's going on right now with Diddy, and you know, with the whole music and entertainment industry is collapsing. And so in many ways, what it did was give us another story, another picture of how, you know, the whole thing happens. I personally would not refer to what happened to him as grooming. I think that, and I know that, you know, that might seem whatever, but for me, grooming has to be a word that is attached to a human that doesn't have agency. You understand? A child. I see him as a grown adult, a slightly troubled adult, because clearly his parenting was off, and clearly you see that he suffers with his self-esteem. But he made active choices, and I think I appreciate in his telling of the story that he puts himself out there, and he said it in the interview about wanting to ensure that he included the nuances of his human condition. So for example, when he first met that guy in the bar, the one who ended up assaulting him, raping him, the conversation he was having before he met that man was with somebody else who he looked at, and he said, you know, it should be a crime to be that young and successful. And you know, the man who came to abuse him was standing beside him like, yeah, it's true. And you know, they were having the back and forth. And in that back and forth, what I got from it, you know, was that clearly he was desperate for the kind of success that he saw this young man having. He was jealous. He was insecure. He was unsure of whether or not his talent could bring him to these places. And he was prepared to pay whatever price, because before he spoke to the man who raped him, he literally told that guy, you know, remember at the bar, he told him, I would suck your toes. He said he would do something. And so, that for me is a sign that we're dealing with somebody who is aware of their vanity, aware of their need for fame, aware of their need for validation, and is prepared to do what needs to be done. And if we're going to label this as anything to do with the age of Aquarius and an opening and a raising of the curtains, oh my God, that's what Martha was saying the whole damn time. Right? But like, if we are looking at it from that point of view, then we can consider that what he did was show us point for point what a lot of these artists, and I don't want to say artists, these people who are searching for fame via their art. Yeah. The musicians and the rappers and all them people who we see now, that names getting called up in these sort of very nefarious activities. Is it worth it? You understand?
What do you mean it's worth it? Like him talking about it, is that well and his possible?
The acts that they do to get to fame, is it worth it? And in his case, was it worth it? Because every step of the way, the man was not holding him in any way.
But the way how you're making it sound, I don't think that he never made it in any sort of way. And he even talked about it, that it wasn't like, oh, he was just a victim. He had no part to play. He was aware of it. Even in that speech that he had, what later on went on YouTube and made him become viral. He was in that speech acknowledging.
By the way, that is not on YouTube, you know.
Of course, it never really happened. Because I don't think that really happened. Did it? I wasn't sure about that.
What I'm trying to say, though,
is that there's... What I was saying before, though, that he, in that speech, acknowledged, and so within the show, so it's not even like you have to, because we know people are, some people just, as you said, watch it for entertainment purposes. But within the show and in interviews, he made aware that he's not just no black and white type of victim. Like, he was aware, he was going back there, and he was also like, you know, lusting for fame, and in a way, it's like craving... I would personally say it's like he was craving love and looking for it in fame and feeling like that was the validation that he was going to give because of that deep-rooted self-hatred that he was harboring for so long, that anybody on the outside kind of showing him what he wanted to encompass and have within is like a light to a moth in a way, you know? Funny enough, the other day I was talking to Helen and she said something I thought was so interesting, that the thought of basically, you know, you're a toddler adult. Like, as an adult, you also go through phases of really reaching adulthood. As much as you get, you know, you're past, you're a toddler, then you're preteen, then you're, you know, quote unquote, like young adult or whatever. But even within adult, like being an adult, you're still like a young version of adult. For your first start going, you're getting a job, you start getting your first experiences. And I get the what you said before, just want to get back to what you said before in terms of the grooming you attach more, I'd assume, to more younger children who are like unaware.
To humans who don't have autonomy of like their brains and they don't have agency. You know, I it's difficult for me to see a grown man who was not forced to take any drugs, was not held physically in the room, was not you know. And we talk about this already on the podcast years ago, me and I think we had a conversation about, remember that girl who was bathing with men in down in South Africa and whatever, and that, you know, there is no perfect rape or perfect assault, and that so I want to be clear, you know, that he was assaulted, he was raped, but I really am not okay with using the word groomed, because I find that in order for somebody to be groomed, in my mind, and maybe we should look for the definition,
because for groomed. Me, while you search for it, the definition I know so far is grooming is that sense of psychologically manipulating a person, basically preying on their, when you see their, I don't want to say faults, but their like needs or their draw towards something, and like using that against them. What is the definition?
So it says, the practice of preparing or training someone for a particular purpose or activity.
See, so
right? So that's very generic. Sexual grooming, however, is the action or behavior used to establish an emotional connection with a minor and sometimes the child's family to lower the child's inhibitions with the objective of sexual abuse. It can occur in various settings, including online, in person, and through other means of communication. Children who are groomed may experience mental health issues, including depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, so on and so forth. So that's for me why I, and again, there is grooming, and I suppose we should be more specific and say, because the words are here attached to him, and the story is that he was groomed and sexual grooming. And in definition, like it said here, for me, it's completely associated with somebody who doesn't have agency, therefore meaning for me a child. And I want to say, to his credit, at the end of the movie, I think that was a full circle moment, and I recognized what he did in terms of the writing. When he was sitting at the bar at the end and the guy gave him the drink and he looked up, and we in the audience are meant to understand from that look that perhaps there is more in him that is Martha than not. In the sense that just like Martha was abused and Martha was taken, I think Martha did not get proper parenting, so was he. Yeah. And so as a result, he is available for the same sort of madness that Martha experienced. And so just in that single moment at the end, I thought, okay, boom, that could be, you know, the lesson for the portion of the population who were not triggered by it, or who didn't want to watch it. Those of us who might be watching it purely for the entertainment purposes, because I want to say, like, when we were watching the episodes, I remember saying to you and your father that the thing, you know, is that, like I said, the fungus of fame, the fungus of our lack of ego management, it is within us.
Yeah.
And it is manifested when you don't get built as a child with deep love and affection. You become adults, like you said a while ago, like toddler adults. And in many ways, yeah, he was a toddler adult that was sexually groomed, right?
Yeah.
But I think the difficulty I'm having with it, Anya, is that he has made this entire thing into art, and he is now doing the rounds and answering the questions. And for me, I am not seeing him. I am not seeing him. And that's
what you mean.
I'm not seeing him as a actor. I'm seeing him as a human being.
Yeah.
And I'm very disturbed for what is really happening in his head right now.
Yeah.
In this moment, the series came out what, April 14th or whatever, so because before this, you know, he was doing plays, the same plays. So yeah. he has constantly been retelling and reliving this thing.
Okay, yeah.
And at a certain point, I imagine that he must have healed to some extent.
Or hopefully even through some form of therapy.
But so that's what I'm saying. And if you have really, truly healed from it, why do you need to continue on telling the story and then now profiting from it? And the little bit, like I said, the little bit at the end, that as an audience member who was watching it just from the purpose of, like, okay, this is entertainment in quotation, because it's not entertainment really, I feel like I can get that from a writer who is not writing about them real life. You follow what I'm trying to say? So what I'm saying is that the idea that he has commodified his trauma and made it into a story and then turn around, act in it, create it and write it. And I think some of the series he even directed it. That's why I go back to my original statement of the comment that I saw about it being a vanity project for him. And that frightens me, because when I look in his face now, when he's doing interviews, I'm thinking, who is this human person in front of us? Who is this person? What kind of quality human is this? On the surface of it, he's telling us, yes, he's telling a story, and he hope people gonna feel. Because I heard him say it a while ago that, you know, for him, he wants that people who have experienced these things don't feel shame. And I don't know if he said that, but basically he's saying that if he can tell his story, then you can tell your story. That's noble.
Yeah.
That's noble. But I still think about him.
Think about it though, I have multiple things I want to say, but in just to connect to that point, think of it this way. We always talk about the theory of this is first hell, and it's what we're doing. So there's always going to be an ounce or a drizzle of that in it. And I wrote down too as well, it's like a double-edged sword towards the ending of him admitting that he hates himself and the lusting for fame and still getting it in the end. In regards to in the show and in real life, and I fully agree with you in that sense. I want to go back to the point where you're saying it's entertaining. I personally feel...
In quotations.
I can't hear you.
In quotations. I'm not saying it's... Because there's nothing... For me personally, I found it to be very much like an invitation to spiritual abuse that I did not ask to go to.
So I... But I can't only speak for myself. But I feel that we've long surpassed a state of... We're just consuming entertainment. We're just taking in things. It's just about, okay, a laugh. I think at this point, in what And it has to transcend in my mind in all aspects of our life. So if it's music, series, or whatever, that it's not just about consuming, but it's about actually taking and basically finding within that entertainment something that either resonates with you, something you can take from it, something I can actually get from it, and not just entertaining it for entertaining it. And it's like that like basically like swallowing it.
I challenge you to look through the comments that are on all the videos regarding this video, this show, and I challenge you, 95% of them is saying, wow, what a great movie it was, what a riveting movie it was, and so on. And that for me is the issue. The majority of people are not looking at it and thinking, oh my god, you know, looking at it in an old deep kind of way. And the people who might get something from it, in terms of if somebody was abused and they can use it and as a tool, but I don't know. I don't have an experience with that thing, so I can't speak to it. I don't know what it feels like if you're somebody who were you know, had that experience, if watching a movie like this is going to cause, you know, to go tell your parents or tell. By the way, I just wanted to say, the book I was trying to remember is David Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest.
Yeah.
And in that book, I've not finished it yet, but most of the main theme in that book is about entertainment, and about how entertainment, that we basically we've become so addicted to being entertained that we are going to be at entertained basically at any cost.
Yeah,
you understand? And I mean, I don't want to quote the book because, like I said, I don't finish reading it fully, but that's the gist of where I'm at with it. Like, we are in this spiral now of, and then this is the thing, this is Netflix. So, and it's the hottest thing on Netflix. So it's like, okay, all of us going to watch it now, and all of us, because we're gobbling up. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after we've gobbled it, we're going to be like, okay, what's on next?
But that's
kind of like a Truman Show.
Yeah, well, I get that. And again, at the end of the day, like, first I said things. Also, we can't. The point is never to save the whole world or find. But it's like, for me, situations like this, like, actually discussing it, disagreeing on it, like, dealing with it, and not just, you know, swallowing it whole. You know, like, as processed food, like, and that's actually what chewing I'm saying, it though, and talking
many
about
people
it.
Are going to swallow it whole, but again, like, why? Shit it out and move on. I'm like,
but
okay,
then
what's
that's
next?
How it is. But then think about the people who maybe a couple of people might feel awakened or feel, you know, touched or, you know, triggered by certain topics, not just necessarily the actual triggering of like the assault, the rape, and like the stalking. And I don't think like any other, like, think about back then in school, when you have these poems you're supposed to interpret. I think we need to move our society shifts towards that, in being able to watch, see, listen to these things, and be able to analyze and divulge and take out the core essence of the show, like the core essence of the main topics, in terms of like honesty, the self-sabotage, that, as you said, I think you said it really well, the when you said the fungus of fame, or fame fungus, like being able to actually talk about the things. He has a very unique and very multifaceted experience. So I mean, again, we don't know to the extent of which things are 100% true and which ones were, you know, added on just for, you know, the dramatic effect of it. But I think regardless of that, I don't say happy because I don't have the exact emotion I want to tie to it, but like, I think it was dealt with very well, as best as possible. And the fact that I feel the show definitely showed a deep level of vulnerability and genuinely nuanced. I feel there are a lot of shows and things where they're like, yeah, you know, we do the nuance, we talk about the different things, but they don't really acknowledge it within the show. It's maybe afterwards in the interviews, but I think in the show, after watching that, I agree with, I think one of the interviews we watched, one of the ladies said that there is no straight up villain, straight up hero, straight up whatever, because in the show he addresses a lot of his own sick sadistic thoughts and sick, you know, tendencies that he also, you know, wants and stuff like that. And yes, I know you see your face where it's like, I didn't ask for this though, I didn't want to watch this, but like, I respect that, as rough and tough as it is, and the show is definitely not for everybody, but I also respect the fact that no bad deed went untouched.
or unpunished.
Unpunished, like from the main guy, basically.
The thing that I will say, right, given what we're observing right now in culture, in entertainment, where everything feels like it's collapsing, the curtains are drawn, or the curtains are being raised.
Please, can we have isn't that
fascinating?
There are
though,
like, I'm saying, I think,
because that aligns with the whole thing of the age of Aquarius. But the point I want to make, right? So I think this pairs very well. You know, like if you're drinking wine and you want to drink what meat to eat with which wine.
Yeah.
Right now, we're all having to see the meat of the matter with this whole Hollywood madness and how...
Mental illness.
The fame fungus caused people to do all sorts of things. And I feel like that part of the show showed us was a blow-by-blow coverage of how... sexual grooming occurs for adults. But again, I said, for me, it's not grooming in the sense of like
a different word
but
for it.
Yeah, because what it is really is just I am prepared to sell my soul at a certain cost. And I think for him, it went to what it did. I think there are other entertainers, you know, actors, whatever, people who are searching for fame, who might go to more extreme extents, or people who, you know, draw a red line earlier. But what it definitely did, it showed to us how it works step by step. Now, if that information is useful for up and coming artists to sort of like, you know, as a red flag for them going forward, great. As it relates to the stalking thing though, because I had that written down, because I want to talk about empathy. Uh-huh. Because I think throughout the story, especially as it relates to Martha, he displays a very, very high level of empathy. And I want to talk about whether or not, like, we have to discuss if empathy is a entirely positive trait. Because I feel that there is a dysfunction that occurred with him in his childhood somewhere, which caused him to constantly want to please, constantly want to be nice, constantly want not to be offensive. And I think that's what led him down the path of not just the thing with Martha, but also the assault that he experienced.
Yeah.
You understand? So I guess in a way, what I want to say is I feel that it's not, because true empathy knows when dysfunction is happening and can say in an empathetic way, no, this is be self-aware enough to say, this is not a situation I can help you with anymore. You're gonna need help. Because at many points he could have done that with Martha, but mm-hmm. he didn't. But when we're looking at two mentally broken ill, people, yeah. And I think that's the scary thing about the whole thing for me and Aenia. And I know we laugh about it all the time and talk about, you know, I've always said like, yeah, mental illness. But I'm concerned that we reach a stage in our evolution where all of those things are coming to bear now. All of those things are coming to fruition. You see, all of them people where, and it's been accelerated because of social media, in that people are having issues with just focusing on their internal lives. They're more externally focused in terms of what's going on social media. So that is compounding whatever poor parenting they might have had. You understand?
Yeah.
And causing the explosion in the mental health and wellness situation. And then we don't want to talk about the last, what, 2-3 years of COVID, that does to the mind and what it's still doing.
Yeah.
You understand? So, yeah. Yeah.
I think that is one of the themes. I didn't necessarily jot it down as empathy, but I've thought of it more as the human in I sees the human in you. And I think that's strung along in the show on multiple ends. I think at some point he mentioned it in a funny way. That's like, you know, there are always two sides of a coin with Martha. And so, but then when he found out, okay, she's actually a literal stalker, though she has an illness. I think being able to dance that fine line of you can have, as you said, empathy or see the human. And I think we are shifting more towards a society being able to, you know, wanting to not just see the surface of what happened, but that there's always nobody. I don't believe that anybody is just born just so without no connection, no, you know, did it just from one day to the next, all of a sudden they're evil and they're awful. Like in the case of Martha, that, you know, I don't know again how true that was, like when he was at the very end re-listening to one of her audios and she was making mention of that her parents used to fight a lot and God knows, you know, we don't know what else was happening, but like there's always a cause and a reason. You can always trace things back to some point. That doesn't negate the fact though that, as you said, there need to be boundaries pulled, but I think those boundaries can only be drawn when you have a sense of self and a sense of self-love, which I think he portrayed very vulnerable and openly that he did not.
No,
and there's a point that, I mean, I don't know how, if you have anything else you want to say in terms of the empathy, because there's another point that I feel was one of the topics that was, you know, you were doing that the other day, throwing the stones on the surface, which it just jutted on it slightly, but I think it has a tremendous wave of the fact that the nuance of people needing to have those conversations within families and those honest conversations in terms of like family experiences and traumas being passed on in silence. Ironically enough, synchronicity, I've been listening to the book The Body Keeps Score from Bessel van der Kolk, and it is so fascinating and interesting. You know, he delves, where I'm at right now, he's talking about like the different forms of therapy that help, you know, deal with like trauma, and these are like serious, like traumatized child abuse, all sorts of stuff like that. But in one of the things that he mentions a therapy called EMDR, basically where, you know, you're set into a trance of remembering memories to be able to associate that, okay, that was then and this is now, because that's a problem with traumatized people, that they constantly feel like they're reliving the trauma and you're basically separated. And in one of the because he talks about patients and, you know, going through some of them, and in one of them it was also about a girl who was, you know, assaulted by her father when she was very young. And then within that, basically that's when she was doing the therapy, she went back to, you know, certain situations that happened, and she also, you know, found herself remembering or like thinking of her mother, basically like apologizing to her that she was also, you know, she also had basically shit dealing with in terms of that also happened, might have happened to her, and like her grandmother apologizing because it was her husband. So then, like, you know, I think, and in the show he mentions it out as well, and he clearly did not know about it, that his father was literally also assaulted by, you know, a priest. And I feel it also kind of connects to that other conversation that he had in terms of after he had been assaulted, he started to question his sexuality in terms of, was he straight? Was he bi? Did the guy maybe see or feel, was he giving off an energy that maybe he was, you know, gay or bisexual from before? And it's like, I wrote down, what did I write down? Where is it? Like the connection between what is genetic, quote unquote, and what is passed on, maybe by, if it's family trauma or family experience. And I guess we'll never know what that would have looked like if maybe the father had been like open and talked about that maybe that sense of confusion that maybe, we don't know, the father might have been having, might have been passed on to him in a way, and he's basically the one to hold the baton and continue the trauma. And it's with this whole colossal fuckery, I don't even know how you would even call this, all the thing that went up, basically to help not only him sort out himself, but maybe even bringing some of that peace and that sense of dealing with the trauma back to his, to the source, which was him, his parents, in his sense, like the father, you know what I mean? And I wrote on specifically in terms of like, because we had that, we've been having that conversation a lot, and that's why I also like the show in terms of like being specific also about like white people and white people trauma. I don't remember the girl that we watch on Instagram, she's fully in the whole thing with like ancestors and zodiac sign and like getting in and like doing readings and stuff like that, and she made mention of like, you know, white people needing to get in touch with their ancestors and also figuring out their shit, because they're also holding a lot of things, like if it's not from war trauma, it's like the back in slavery, even before that, all of that. That is where I personally feel I would have been interested to see that delve more into that aspect of it. And you mentioned that interview where he talked about his parents, and he didn't go into detail about like what else. We don't know if there were other things that he, you know, his parents went through and still are going through, you know. But I think it's those shifts that need to happen in individual families, in their individual lives. And as you said, we need to direct that focus that we're putting on the outside in terms of, okay, social media and how you're portraying, back inward in like what is going on in your life and what is going on in your family, what are things maybe you're dealing with and maybe you're acting out that maybe deep down you don't even like necessarily like know about or are aware of, and to have those conversations. And I think the main theme of the whole series for me is open honesty. And as somebody, if we talked about it, and like I know for myself, like I've been going on my own like journey of honesty, and not just with myself but the people around me, and seeing in a way my version of his you know best case scenario after him being honest was, you know, the whole fame thing turning around, but like the lightness I think is what he really took from it, being honest and as open and vulnerable about the thing. And it is raw and it is weird, and is like I think in the book even the body keeps the score one of the women who I thought, or one of the people who went through the whole the therapy of dealing with the trauma and being able to detach it from the now and being seen like, okay, that was an event that happened, is that the fact of being able to have that detachment and also releasing that sense of like, if it's guilt, if it's whatever is that's holding you back, and shame, especially like shame and stuff like that, and being able to confront that within yourself. And then ironically enough, he mentioned it, I think in the book they say it was like, you know, when you're able to go back to like your mother, to your parents, and to like openly talk about things, that how that can, a lot can shift and happen for you as a as an individual, you know. You want to go on, think, on a monologue, but that was, yeah.
I think that much of the discussion and the conversation that could come from this will lead to that. I hope it does. I really do. I feel like, you know, this whole podcast is in a lot of ways my way of just making sure that I chronicle not just our conversations, but also for you and for your, you know, for your and Jonathan's children, if you both choose to have children, the sense of, okay, who was the grandmother, where was, what was her thoughts, in addition to the conversations we have off the podcast, yeah, as well. But and the whole thing that we've done with you know, maintaining a family meeting and having open dialogues, I think even when you do it under the best of circumstances, still things are left unsaid and undone. Yeah. And so it's like we're running a relay in a way that everybody has to run their race, yeah, and run your race part the best way you can.
Yeah.
I will say that if that, like I said, I feel like if that comes out of it where people look at it and, you know, because like I opened my thoughts with the quote from Frederick Douglass about building strong children versus broke having to fix broken men, you know.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways he told his story, yeah. And we only got a very small glimpse of what his father's story was. I don't want to imagine what it must have been like for him growing up in that home, and what the father was struggling with and how much of that he might have absorbed or soaked up as a young boy that could have, because I feel like for him, he feels there's something in him that attracts the Marthas and the man who assaulted him.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that is in him is obviously something that he that was placed there from the absorption of what happened with his mother, his father. Yeah. And we don't know what happened with his mother. We don't know what the relationship was like. Mm. We don't even know if he had brothers and sisters and what those kinds of, what dynamic was. Yeah. So I get that part of it, that, you know, the show could be useful in those ways. I want to hope that it is, but I don't know. For me, I like living in details. And for me, the detail is that I'm looking at a human being who he is reaching pinnacle now in terms of his success as a writer, as an actor. I know he started as a comedian, but, you know, that clearly didn't work. All right, mommy,
can we just in a way how the show was written, I get it too, or after the scenes, like, you're kind of that's the thing with you, once you dip out, it's like you can't go back.
Because Anya, you know what I cannot unsee,
what?
Is all the interviews, and this one is just one of many that I've watched with him, you know, about this one in particular, because this one where you see you see him crying and the veins in his face standing up when he talking about his parents, yeah, and whatever. I can't unsee his humanity. You understand?
Of course, but
for me, I would have been perfectly okay to not know the story, but hope for him. But then again, this is me living in a utopia, right? Because in my perfect world, we would not have known about the story, in that we would not know the details of it. But we know him as a healed actor who do work around the topic in a way that don't commodify his personal trauma.
Yeah,
you understand? So I'm not saying I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers, Sway. That's what Kiani is saying. But so I'm not saying that this is what I think is, you know, is. But I can't unsee him, the human person. And I think he's what, I have to look to see how old he is. Yeah. He don't look more than like 35, 36 years old.
Yeah.
This is still a young man. And this thing now is going to be stamped on him now. It was already stamped on him now, because he was doing the plays. And I think he won some prestigious award or something. Fine. But now with Netflix, it's a different kind of fame that is going to arrive at his feet.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can't unsee him, the human.
Yeah.
And how will he now decompress from all of that to really get back to his humanity? Because the fame is going to take, the fungus of fame is literally going to take over his very being right now. And if I don't hear him say anything about therapy, I've not seen all the interviews, obviously, every interview that I was waiting to hear that. All I keep hearing is that, you know, he did the plays. And so it seems to me that it is acting out the thing that is what he's been doing.
I mean, I definitely still open and very intrigued in listening to other interviews from him and what he has to say. I have a question that I want to ask you, just in terms of, like, since we talk about it, like, out of what perspective are you looking onto him? Because, like, when I hear you talking about it, and I agree with you 100%, I can also see the human in him, and completely I can see and agree with your points. But as somebody who knows you, I feel you're looking at the situation and judging it out of the view of, like, as a mother and as a counselor, first and foremost. Like, not that I'm not saying that you're not seeing him as a human, but I think I've heard that, like, very strongly in terms of, like, you're looking at him.
Well, that's how I experience my humanity as a mother and a counselor, as a daughter.
Yeah, but it also mean like, I also mean like, how do I say this? Because I feel, looking at out of it, that perspective, there's a slight, I don't want to say like pedestal, and like, okay, but feel like you're putting yourself over him, but it's almost like this kind of like overshooting, like protective type of thing, which I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. But the way I see it, I see it like more on like a same level thing. Whereas like, I can see that he's not 100% set, in terms of he had a lot of shit probably coming on with, and then this whole additional stuff on it is like, he's a bruised human. But for me, I still see, okay, on the same level, I can see what he's doing. I can see what we talk about with the devil's advocate, the things being pulled. But like, I don't know if you understand what I mean.
So you're basically saying, clear. You're suggesting that I am seeing him as a situation and not as a person.
No, that you are basically seeing, and your opinion on the thing is on that I said, it's not like you're putting yourself over him or not, but like,
but that's exactly how it sounds like you're saying, like you're thinking that because I'm making the points that I'm making, that you somehow feel like I am, because I don't see me being over him. I see me watching him, and that for me feels like I'm over him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. That's what I mean. That's what I mean when I say like, I this is not entertainment for me. Like I just, when I look at him, I want to know that he's okay as a human being.
Yeah.
And I could have gone without watching his story on TV. Yeah. So in many ways, I mean, I get what you mean when you say like, you know, people, well, me watching it might look like that, but he put himself in that situation as well. And that also disturbs me because I don't agree with that, with what you're saying. Like, I don't think that I see him as like,
I don't think I'm explaining it properly.
No, I say, I understand what you're saying, you know, that I look at him as a mother, and I also look at him as from a counselor's perspective, a mother's perspective and a counselor's perspective.
So as like a child. As a
woman.
Yeah.
As a woman, I look at him the same way as well, which is like I said a while ago, he is what, 35, 36. I want to think he's that in that age group. This is he's still a young man.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have children.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't know if he put that in his Wikipedia page, because outside of that, I don't know where else I would get that information.
Yeah.
But he does not have a life yet. And so me looking at him, and like I say, I manifest my life as a human being through the eyes of a woman, as a mother, as a daughter. Mm-hmm. You understand? So when I look at him as a in all of those capacities, I see him as a young man who now has fame. He has fame at the highest level across all medias. Because, I mean, once you get hit by the Netflix bug, you're done in terms of fame. Like, everybody know you. And with him, everybody know his story. What is his life going to look like after this?
Yeah,
is he going to be able to get a woman who is going to see him for who he is, and not for the fame, and not for the story, and not, it's like when we're watching the whole transgender thing, is he going to now only have to get somebody who is either gay or transgender? Will he be okay with it? You know what I mean? Like, I just would want for him that he has all the space available to bring his life to, I guess maybe this is how, like in my head, I want to see him well.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough respect for the entertainment industry that he will be able to be well.
Yeah.
Especially not like from now going on. Like, I just don't see it. I just don't see it.
But why?
That made me feel deeply, deeply, deeply concerned for him.
Yeah, but why you feel so that? I mean, we've seen childhood. I mean, yes, there may not be that many, but like childhood stars who grew up in Hollywood and then they just stick with themselves. Like, what if this is, you know, we talk about like the Celestian prophecy, and sometimes you have a feeling, something just like sway, something just pull you to a certain direction. And, you know, yes, I won't put the past the fact that there definitely is, and he addressed it both in the show and also in the interviews, in terms of like, you know, that desire or like pull for like fame, that was the whole reason why he moved out and everything. Like, you can't, it's never 100% of anything, right? But maybe there was that sense of all the things that he talked about in terms of like also the nuances of the whole stalking and also the whole rape thing that happened to him, that he was able to like, he portrayed, and I see you shaking your head, and like I get it, to what, because again, I guess it gets into that whole discussion of like, is his story, let's say his story helps, I don't know, 50 people, was it worth it?
Was it, that is my question, Anya.
I think at the end of the day, he has to be the one who's gonna have to tally that score.
I don't know if he is And this is where I guess this is where my judgment come in now. But like, from what I've seen of him in terms of the series and of the interviews, I believe this is a very, very troubled man, and he is talented. I don't need to be exposed to his talent. I would prefer for him that he is as stable as he needs to be as a human being. And it goes back to the book, what I was telling you with Infinite Jest, where we are all caught up in this vortex of, you know, YouTubing and Instagramming, and I am too with my WhatsApp stories. Everybody is trying to show.
Yeah.
You understand me? And to go outward. And the outward, oh, I have to share, because if I share it with somebody, that maybe somebody will get help. But the issue, the real issue, again, because that's what I want to talk about, empathizing, is that necessarily a way to assist? Are you really helping anybody if you just put your story out there? And yes, people gonna get some thoughts about their stories now, but in his case, and in many of the cases like his, he gets a shitload of fame, and then he spiral into other projects, and perhaps it will take him another 20-30 years before he come back around to the deep, intimate, interior work, yeah, that he needed to have done, because he's going to be wished away with on the sailboat of fame. And that for me is the issue.
Yeah.
Like straight up and down. And we talk, you know, I remember during Corona, you know, and I went down this rabbit hole with Motown and with art and what really is art and what really is entertainment. And it really disturbed me now, because when we've talked about that, I've talked about that in the writers group and with other people about how we are really at the precipice in terms of like I get the argument that, you know, but what are you going to do? We're living, and where you're living, you're going to do what you need to do to exist and to live and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And much of the entertainment and the art that people do is to be able to make a living for themselves and their families and build generational wealth. And I just hope that I will wake up in a world, I don't know, 10, 20, 50, however long years it take, I hope I'm going to be around to see it, when the commodification of our existence is just not done, because it's not doing healthy things for us.
Yeah.
This is what I mean when I feel like we're shoveling shit, because so much of our art is built on this. It's like, you know, the lotus flower, they say the lotus flower exists and blooms in mud.
Yeah.
And you know, it's such a beautiful thing, but I mean, I know, I think the framework and the parameters of our world is such that it's like we're in this petri dish of just, yeah, we're not getting out of it. And that we're gonna live constantly, and now with technology just going off the chain, we're living now in a time where it's impossible for us to get out of that spiral, and that for me is troublesome, especially because I'm so very aware now, like it's becoming difficult for me to enjoy art if I know that it was made on the backs and the burdens of somebody's trauma or somebody's abuse. You know, like when they when what's his name, R. Kelly, was put in jail. I like R. Kelly, some of his songs, you know, I like his voice, And then when I read about all the things that he was accused of, but when you dig deep and you understand that he himself was sexually molested from he was little, come straight up till he was 16 or so, yeah, by some older sister, the fact that he did not know how to read. When you hear all of these things, you understand it just, it's in combination with what he did to the girls, that don't make you want to listen to the same thing with Whitney Houston. When I listen to her music and I know now what I know about, and we don't even know everybody's details, but enough of the details come out to make you wonder, like, yo, this art, this song that we're listening and we're getting so much joy from, came from so much pain.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, who was I talking to? And they were saying to me, but that is how our world works. And that's why I have in the thing in my story, because it really is a central thing in my head these days. Like, live in joy, even though you know, it says all of the facts. I don't feel like I know all the facts, but even though you know most of the facts,
yeah,
you know, about how the world is being run, live in joy. Fine. And I find much of the joy is found in nature. Much of the joy is free. It's not Netflix series that cost a lot of money and pay a lot of money and give a lot of people fame and fortune. You understand? Yeah. The true joy comes from some simple things, like your auntie Melanie sent me a video in Montego Bay. She was in Mobe working, and she sat on the beach and did a lapse of the sun setting. And I've tried to do that for so many times. Like, me and Father, when we go walking, I always try to do it.
Yeah.
To sit and just watch it when it goes down. And for some reason, I've never been able to really do it, to like have it on one tape. And she did it. And that for me is joy. You understand? It's free. It's available. You understand? Again, yeah, we have with technology, you can record it and you can enjoy it and juice from that whenever you want. And it don't require nobody going through no drama. It don't require no, you understand, no fame, and no, you have to do 17 million interviews to promote, you know, include capitalism in any kind of way.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to us waking up to that world. That world where we get joy and juice out of each other, perhaps. That's like, let me always just say, the other day when we say it and you were like, here you go, living in your favorite fairy world. Oh, about good. Like, maybe if we all found our individual thing, whatever that thing is, I don't like clowns necessarily, but if your thing is to dress up like clown and to dance around, do your thing, but that it doesn't require you to commodify it and sell it.
Yeah.
You understand? And then if you find that you have one or two other people who like dress up like clown, uno, do I have a little group on us, enjoy on ourselves, dressing up like clowns? Like, no, for real. And I think
that's all the examples you could, like, why is dressing up as clowns?
Because I know in I don't understand it. I don't. I mean, like, for combat, me bias
towards anybody who's into clownery.
No, but that's my way of, like, you know, pushing up against, you know, things women are like, aren't yeah. like bias towards. But like, even what the thing what I'm doing with the poetry, like trying to find other people who write in English, it's such a weird thing to think that you could find English people who write in English write poetry in some obscure German village in Swabish land.
Yeah.
But if I find one person or two, joy.
Yeah.
You understand? I think that is my sort of like, anyway, this Anya, I have gone on.
I got it from somewhere.
Sure.
Right.
The question, final question, is this worth watching?
If it's out the delay. Of the, no, because I really want to think about, I want to say straight up just yes, because I hate when people ask questions and then they first go on, but I'll say yes with the reasoning behind it being, this being the beginning, if you've not been doing it before, this should be the start of you not just consuming for consuming sake. You actually take the time, put the phone away, actually watch it, watch yourself, see where you're triggered, discuss and maybe find, you know, whatever rings the most with you after watching the series, and deal with it. And hopefully not only take that within watching series, listening to music, reading books, however, but doing that in your everyday life, like becoming more aware, being present. Because that's for me what I like, active, being present with all the yoga, manifesting and journaling and everything. I think the main point is to bring you back in the moment right now, dealing with the things now, looking at things maybe differently, things that happened in the past and so. So all that to say, yes, I think it's worth watching. And you, mom? That's what she said. No. It's soul abuse.
I don't know, Inya.
My answer, for real,
because now I feel, because like when we're in the middle of it, I texted Pauline and I texted Melanie. I was like, you watch this yet? And now I feel like I wish I hadn't. But then Melanie, I texted me back and said she saw it. That she saw it and she had it as one of the things that she was going to watch. But like
the same thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Is it truly art? If we're all, because we're all consuming it, you know.
Well, me, Age of Aquarius. No, wait, it makes sense that it is, you know.
So, I don't know if it's Age of Aquarius.
The connectiveness.
That for me is like, we're all seeing the same thing. And if we're all seeing the same thing, it's a dangerous thing, you know, because then it means that we can be controlled. And I guess that's where we're headed right now.
But
because we're all seeing the same things, we're all being triggered by the same things. So by the time when they're ready to really do any sort of, anyway, I don't want to go into that.
Yeah, fair enough. Question. But just to say that, just to put on that point, fair enough. But again, even in, what's the name of the book, the 1986 or one of them, where it basically comes down to, it's not just manipulation and control on the outside, it's you internally controlling your own thoughts. I think that's the point, that we can be in a world where we all watch the same thing, but everybody has their own experience, their own feelings towards it, and their own opinions about it. But it's going back to the question.
Right. So, like, I remember when Jonathan was watching it, because he, like, you know, he didn't watch it with us, and I was watching his face, and I looked at him and I just feel like, I don't know if I wanted him to watch it. I mean, him being so young and him, but then I thought to myself, all right, that's why I didn't talk to him about it today when we were on the road together. And the main thing I wanted to extrapolate from it was the ownership. Like, you have to have the ownership of yourself. So you can't rely on anybody to give you no validation. Because basically that's what happened to the guy. You know? That's how the whole assault happened. Because, you know, because if you rely on somebody to hype you up, you know, understand that person owns you. Because once that person hype you up and you believe the hype, that same person can just come with a knife and stick you. I'm like, yeah, but you know, that one thing that you did didn't was so good. And also, why are you wearing that shoes? And also, why your eyebrows look like that? Like, you know, that one person can just become your heaven and hell. You understand?
Yeah.
So I think that was the thing that we talked about today, about how, you know, how to make yourself unbuyable, unviable. Like, you cannot be bought.
Yeah.
And I was thinking when I saw, because we're talking, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say it to him, but I remember years ago, you know, when he was in his, oh my God, years of him not doing homework and just terrorizing my entire existence as his mother.
Oh my God, he still does to this day.
And
for me personally.
And I don't remember something with him work. So I'm sending home and say he don't do his homework or whatever. And me and your father went for a walk, you know, and we're like, okay, so we have to figure out what the fuck we're going to do. Because we have to let him see that it's important for him to do his work and da da da. And then I was like, all right, fine. You know what? I'm going to monitor his phone. I'm going to basically take the phone from him because he had his cell phone by then. I take the phone from him and that's going to be, and me and your father was like, great. We got this. We're great parents. Cut to the morning, the evening he come home and I'm like, look, this is the new rule. You don't get to have your cell phone. Once you come home, you turn your phone off and your card can't give me. In my mind and also in your father's mind, we're just like, oh my God, he gonna just totally break down and he totally just gonna go in his room and just break down and also just do his homework and just whatever. This boy just turned the phone off and he gave it to me. I was like, okay. And he go in there for a strong 10 minutes, he did his maths, and then he was just lying on the bed and just doing something else, staring out the window and just not doing nothing. And that was what happened for an entire 2 weeks, the 2 weeks of us taking the phone from him. Mm-hmm. It did not bother him at all. As a matter of fact, he didn't even bother come back for the phone. You know how he could come back for it and like, because I told him, I said, look, you can have like an hour. You understand? Yeah. Or, you know, I gave him, because I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be a great parent. I'm just going to be hard and soft.
Yeah.
He was like, just turn the phone off and give it to me.
You raised a savage. So what was your solution? He's giving up parent advice.
I don't give parent advice. I don't think I was.
Like, so I don't know if I was a good parent.
No, I don't.
Like, I'll judge that after my children have moved out.
I'm going to judge that when God go judge that with me when we're dead. I don't know that I was a good parent. I really don't. And so the point, when I remember thinking about that in the car today, and I was going to say to him, but I said, no, let me not say it, because I do respect that about him, and I think also from you as well, the sense of like,
you did that early on, the peer pressure. I think you did from early on, like, you give, I know for, I can't speak for myself, but give him that feeling. I was like, okay, so peer pressure isn't a thing, and also like, what are you gonna do? Because the way I see John, and I can see that, you can't really like force him, like, I'm not doing that. Yeah, but this end is like, okay. Yeah,
like, you can't take anything from him and think that you're gonna like shock him and tell him that, and that's gonna cause him now to do something to get it back. It's like, okay, well, you're gonna take it, fine.
Yeah.
And I think that is the point. I think that is the fundamental point with this story, and just with all of us as human beings, and how you check yourself.
Yeah.
How you check yourself. Like, I think, and that's why I go back to the movie, Devil's Advocate, because it's that thing in us, you know, that thing we want to be bigger and greater on the outside, when we don't realize that we are so big and so great on the inside, that it's all on the inside. Yeah. And that once you get that inside something the right, once that warmth, the nice and good, it's like everything else is just like icing on the cake, because somebody like you or they don't like you. Somebody say your work good or not good. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And the question is, should somebody watch the show?
I'll have to come back around.
To come back around to that.
Yes, what's your answer?
I didn't like to. I found the thing with the male, the whole raping of him was just a lot. And I saw how it affected your father, and it also affected Jonathan. But I think it's, I hate it, for want of a better word, I think it has some positive effects, because I think we have to stop. I mean, I talk about this with women. Like, women, we get to be victims and victors. You understand?
Yeah.
We get to be devil, and we get to be angel.
Whereas men,
you remember Outlander? You remember when Jamie got raped in Outlander?
Yeah.
And you remember how devastating it was for your brother and your father to sit down here and watch that? I think it's not a good thing. I don't want to, I would hope that men don't get raped, women either. Mm-hmm. But I would want to normalize the understanding that this
the
happens.
Wholeness of the
yes,
human
that this
being.
Happens. Yes. And that it can happen to men, and it does happen, and that if it happens, that they deserve and they should have the same amount of empathy, the same amount of room as women get in society. I think if anything, I don't want to, for want of a better word, because like I say, it's not good, but the positive effect of that movie for me is that if a man you know, had that unfortunate experience, that he can turn to his friend, his father, his brother, his another male person, and say, you know, that happened to me, and so and so and so.
Because even in the series that happened, when my father said, like, yeah, but would you, because he said he feel mm-hmm. conflicted about masculinity, and I think I didn't even write that down, but we've been having that conversation since a long time, like intimacy and men needing to, boys needing to turn back to their fathers, mm-hmm. to back to their grandfathers, so addressing,
and men need to have friendships that are not based in beer and football
and surface things.
Yes,
because like that's the thing, you know, that's really the thing, is that he's conflicted about masculinity. masculinity and what that means. And the father was like, well, how would you see me as less masculine? And I was like, Eilish was like, what did he say? And even in the show, the guy was like, what did you say? Right. And he repeating and saying like, no, it happened. Basically, he was a part. He never said it. He was a part of the Catholic Church. And you already put one and two together. But like, yeah. Think about when we're talking about like, even looking at the whole thing with P. Diddy and stuff like that, how, you know, with the woman who came out and I was talking about, it's like women, as you said, take the stage and take the full thing to talk about their experience, mm-hmm. and everything what happened, which is great.
But
men don't get that same space without getting that side eye from both men and women, to be fair.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't right. And yeah. we think we all need to like but address that within ourselves.
I think even when I saw the scene when he told his father, and his mother was the one who got up first and hugged him, and then his father approached him, he put his hand out to shake his father's hand, and his father hugged him. And that for me was like, okay, but these very minuscule, very small steps are not enough. It's just not enough. And I'm looking forward for that for men. I think it breaks my heart to see how, I hate to say this, it's almost like women gobble up being human more. Like men are not seen as human. They're seen as part human, but more robot and more masculine and also more strong.
Them themselves.
They see it exactly.
It's both ways, I feel. Yeah.
They do it to themselves and to each other, and we as women do it to them.
Yeah.
You understand? And then society is set up in such a way that we say it's a man's world, so a man automatically just knows it. What were you mean? Even when he went to the police station and he was saying, look, this woman is stalking me. You see, because it was another man, the way how he's like, what you mean? What, get over yourself.
Yeah. And then he even mentioned if it would be the reverse, you know?
Exactly. And even when he got to the point of having the restraining order against her, it was a woman. It was a, I don't know if she was a police officer, she was a lawyer or a social worker.
Yeah.
But it was a woman that actually sort of like said, all right, look, we're gonna take this thing serious. Yeah. Here's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
So like the question, I know it's a difficult watch for men. I think the stalking part, I'm sure many men would be like, okay, figure that shit out and get over it. But the rape part, and so on both ends, you know, Anya, if you really check it, it's about what it's like to be male in a society that tells you you should know what to do, or I don't know, because even the guys in the bar, the way they were treating him, you see how they didn't, yeah, and they just did not get it that this was
a troublesome situation
exactly for him. Just thinking it's funny, and especially, and again, it's about the character as well. The woman who's a woman overweight, it's like, oh, come on, it's a woman, she's overweight. What do you mean? Pay her some mind, that's all she wants. She wants to be seen.
Yeah.
And not even seeing him as a human being and understanding that, oh, this was stressful and terrifying for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... Cause you remember when we were watching Outlander, you know, those scenes when that thing was going on, you know, Jonathan and your father, you know, remember how they were balling up like in fetal position, like, watching all it.
All right, go use the bathroom. We'll go get doing? Some water from the something. Kitchen.
Yeah. I want for men to be able to witness that, because it's for women, it's difficult. I know for me, even though I've seen it many times, I don't like to see a woman being assaulted sexually. But I do think that men's inability to even witness it in this way is troublesome.
Yeah.
And the more that they're able to see it, unfortunately, that will sort of like help them.
Yeah.
You know, to talk to each other about it, but I feel like we're repeating ourselves. So yeah, it's a tentative, yes, tentatively,
kinda,
and I would want more men to watch it than women. I would recommend highly for men to watch it. I think a man would get more out of this than a woman would, in my view.
Well, I can get that, but I think like women also need to see the whole story in that sense and take, you know, men issues serious too and be able to like, you know,
I guess
the gender bias that we all have kind of ingrained, because I think everyone's like, all right, come on, like he could just, you know, move. And then again, it's like, you don't know, we didn't know at the point at the beginning. Yeah. I think even if we would like rewatch, I mean, even rewatching with Jonathan, like I noticed, you know, certain things at the beginning that were said and certain things that how like biases are brushed over, certain things that were said and done. I feel like, ah, you know, that's, it's fine, whatever.
Because think about it. If you easily, easy money, if you were to exchange him and put a woman in his character, the story would not have even been this riveting. But also it would be like, okay, well, that's terrible. And it's terrible. It's wrong. Yeah. But I think the way that nobody took him serious, and I don't like that for men.
No,
I don't like that world for me. I don't want my son living in a world where he's not. And especially because of, you know, look at Jonathan. When he don't present as somebody who is vulnerable or somebody who is, and that is what most heartbreaking, because once somebody, a man, is broken in that way, he's sort of like, you have nowhere to go. Yeah. You understand, more than it was like implode on himself, and that's what happened to this guy. You see how he implode, and he just the reckless and risky sexual activities when he was getting himself involved in. It's like because he doesn't know how to it. Yeah,
self-destructing.
Tentatively, I would want men to watch it. I think generally, if a woman has a husband and have brothers and well. I'm sure women who don't have husbands, brothers, and sons also love men. I think just by our nature as women, we tend to want to look out for men anyway. And others. I suppose if the...
Well...
But I still think that I didn't need to see it.
You can get that.
I still think I want to hear of him walking away from this entirely. And not doing no more interviews or nothing. And then him pop up like 5 years later in our movie about something else completely different.
Because we went in one of the interviews, he mentioned he was in a movie. Because I think I saw that, like, I didn't watch a movie, but I saw that he was in some kind of psycho thriller or something else.
See, that's what I'm saying. Thing. Like, why is he doing all those kind of movies, them psycho movies?
But I don't know what it was about. So.
And again, it's like he's perpetuating his own trauma.
Like,
he's swimming in that pool of
well, I don't know. We don't know how, but it could be wrong. Anyway, Mom.
Anya.
This was a great spontane podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a part two. I think there are other topics that we never really like.
I think we talked about it all. I don't want to. I don't want to come back here. I wish him nothing but the best. Yes. Though. I genuinely wish him nothing but the best. And me personally would like to not see him on no more interviews talking about this. I would like him to just disappear for at least 2-3 years and people forget about the show, and he go do some deep therapy. I hope he finds somebody he loves, whether that's a man, a transgender, or a woman, somebody who truly loves him in a healthy way and who he can love. And then if he want to come back I don't think he should come back as a comedian, and I don't think he works. That's not his talent.
So, like, but I think
he's a great actor, though.
The writer as well. And I think the show was obviously done well. Writing, and remember, he was a part. He did most of it, I think.
Writing and the acting is good. I personally don't think the comedy thing was working for him at all.
Oh, my God, Mommy. That's so
rough. But you know what I saw? It's not rough. It's true. I saw on YouTube, you know, some of the videos from 7 years ago and so on. It's so juvenile. It's exactly what Martha said. We remember one of the audio demo Martha sent him. It's like, his comedy is very juvenile.
Yeah,
and it's true.
He wasn't ever aware enough to have that in the show too, when he had that whole monologue where he broke down, and when he was in the finale of the contest where he threw the case around and was saying how he felt like he was really doing something different.
Yeah,
something
because special. I think comedy for him is a mask, is a is like what you call it, toxic positivity. You understand, where he wants people to laugh and he wants to laugh and he wants every, but I think his true core is to heal what happened to him. And I think once he does that, I think he would be a great actor. I think he has a lot of range.
And writer again.
Yes. Yeah, well, obviously.
Give him his flowers where they're due. Well,
all right, Ina, I'm so tired.
I'm going to let you clock out of this long night.
It's
12:26 now. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this. I think
is it 2 hours yet?
Yeah, almost.
I think we have to stop now. Yeah. I think this is a lot. It's a lot for me.
But I look forward to more spontaneous reviews or
I look forward to spontaneous interviews.
Let me push through spontan, right? We have fungus fame. Can I not get something too?
All right, Enya.
Oh my God. I've won. This is the best time to fight you. We're going to do more podcasts in the evening. I feel like I have more control over the situation. Anyway, Mom, it was always, as usual, a pleasure. I love our little couch sesh. And yeah, to everybody, if anybody is listening and came this far, thanks for listening.
I'm sure this is going to be it, Enya. We're going to tag it and we're going to see this.
I was thinking about it, but I didn't want to say it. Yes, that's how fame. Fungus.
You see that?
Yeah.
That's literally. In
my
head,
I was like, oh my God, imagine. But then I was like,
see?
I thought about that multiple times, but I was having so sad at this point. It's just the two of us.
And it's okay. I'm going to make sure to listen to
it more so then there's a couple more views.
Okay. We're not going to have a devil's advocate moment. You see how that works?
Because I thought the irony of us, you know, fame and people wanted to do things like we're literally on a podcast talking about the thing. At least we have self awareness.
And then you're putting in the hashtags with the hope that people are going to listen. You're going to go viral. God, we are
humanity first health settings. Anyway, Mom,
joy, we're finding the joy nevertheless.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, guys, thank you all for listening if you made it this far, and you know, stay safe, stay hydrated, and till the next one. Bye guys.